Welcome to the prophet Amos. As we continue our travel through the Old Testament scriptures, Amos is the first prophet we encounter whose followers recorded his sayings in writing. He lived in the 7th century BCE, and the text is really quite specific in telling us that he was a prophet during King Uzziah's reign, 2 years before the earthquake. It is thought that his time as prophet was likely rather short, maybe only a year or so. But short career or long, you may have noticed that Amos wasn't one to try to soften the blow. In fact, in my research this week, one academic was quoted as saying that if you like the prophet Amos, then you really don't understand him. Amos was a shepherd, a gardener. He worked outside. He had calloused hands. Amos was not concerned with flowery speech or taming offensiveness. He told it like it was, and told it he did. Hate evil and love good. And then, quoting God, Amos says, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God's displeasure here seems to be a rather equal opportunity displeasure. It doesn't really seem that there's anyone who doesn't get touched in some way, not religious observing folk at least. I hate your festivals, your fanfare and flair. All the things that you give to me are meaningless. Any offering you have to give, God says, I don't want any part of it. And then, just to make sure that, you know, nobody's left out, songs of worship are referred to as noise. And then before we get to that last verse again, I think that we need to pause here in the discomfort of Amos's words, especially, it seems to me, 2 weeks after Reformation Sunday. I think it's important for us to consider each part of this with some depth of heart. First, noted festivals and solemn assemblies, worship for us. Some questions. Do we get caught up in colors and banners and candles and windows only to forget that none of it is about that? Do we forget, as we come to worship every Sunday morning, that we come only to be reminded of our reconciliation in Christ, so that we can go out as forces of reconciliation in the world? Are we still making the mistake of thinking that worship is supposed to be about us, when it's never been about us, but about God? And then words about burnt offerings, grain offerings, and fatted animals. So we consider our own giving then. When we give, is it freely and joyfully? Do we give to reinvest in the turned inward church? To secure our place in the order of the family? Or do we give to the glory of God, to feed the poor and house the homeless? Do we give only to the church? Do we give outside the church? Take away from me the noise of your songs, Amos says. Are we singing to God? For God? Are we singing to feel good? Are we singing to change God? Or are we singing to change ourselves? I don't know if you know the answers to all those questions, or perhaps maybe you do have a sense of some of those answers, and you maybe don't want to say them out loud, but I think we need to hear all of these things, Amos says, are meaningless unless they are done in an effort to bring justice to the earth. All of these things could cease completely, it would seem, and if justice rolls down, then God would be pleased. This image of justice rolling down like waters, it's a powerful image, especially for the people who would have been listening to Amos, since they lived in a fairly arid part of the world. For them, other than maybe the Jordan River, they don't really have rivers that flow all the time. They mostly dry up, either to a completely chipped up waterbed called a wadi, or maybe the smallest trickle through the summer. So flowing water alone is powerful. But what's even more then is the righteousness that runs like an ever-flowing stream. It never stops. And I think it's helpful here for us to note that justice is linked to righteousness. It is not enough to feed the hungry person. Instead, we must feed that person and then do the work to ensure that they're not hungry again tomorrow. And then we need to hold ourselves to a standard of daily living that keeps the flow of justice and goodness going. Let justice roll down like waters. First, we need to do better for us and for every neighbor on earth. And then we need to be better so that we are God's agents for equality and justice and love and grace in the world. Amos, in fairly few words, but rather punchy words, has given us a lot to think about, a lot to consider about ourselves. However, we do well to note that a prophet is not a predictor of the future, but rather a seer of what can be. I'll say that again. A prophet is not a predictor of the future, but rather a seer of what can be. And Amos is able to see flowing, rushing, even gushing water. A formidable symbol of our life with Christ. We have a God who not only created the world, but continues to interact with it and takes care of everything in it and us when we're at our best and when we're not. God doesn't give up on us. But worshiping God is not limited to what we do in church on Sunday mornings. Worship continues in what we do on Monday morning, and on Tuesday morning, and Wednesday, and every day of the week that continues. Because God does not want a lot of empty rituals from us. In fact, God wants even more from us than our heart and our soul. Our God also wants our hands and our feet. So indeed, let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And may we be the instigators of it all. Amen.